You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our regular catch-up with one of our most important minor parties about the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow. Today, Alex chatted with ACT party leader David Seymour, standing in for Brooke Van Velden, about the forecast net loss in immigration and the link between the gun buyback and increased gun violence. Here they are now.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
In the year to May, for the last 20 years, or at least back to 2002, New Zealand on average has gained 30,900 people. And that's not holidays, that's permanent migrants. So the number of people coming to New Zealand to make a life has been about 30,900, more than the number of people permanently leaving. For 20 years. So we've gained about 600,000 people over that time, and that's been essential to driving the New Zealand economy, getting work done. It's especially important because our own population is growing. So if you look at the number of people that are going to retire soon, you look at teachers, for example, more than 1 in 10 teachers is actually over retirement age. So we're going to have a lot of people retiring, and we need people to keep coming. So that's the basic background. New Zealand is driven by net arrivals. This year, it looks like we're going to have about negative 10,000. So normally it's plus 40, plus 30. This year, negative 10. That means there's 40,000 fewer people in the New Zealand workforce than we would have expected. And I think that starts to explain why you're having trouble with nurses and teachers, and actually just about every sector of the economy is facing really bad shortages of people. You take 40,000, because migrants are usually working age, so you take 40,000 workers out in a year, and all of a sudden your balance doesn't work. So that's the basic situation, and I would say there's a number of reasons for it. One is that we've made it really unattractive to come here. We closed the border. We separated migrants from their families. We put in place really long processing times at Immigration New Zealand. People that want to immigrate here are still treated like it's a massive privilege, when actually every developed country is putting out the welcome mat. And meanwhile, on the other side of the ledger, New Zealanders who are here, at least from what I'm hearing, are saying, look, your massive pay increase for going to Australia, that wage gap has grown by $6,600 in the last 5 years. That's the growth in the gap, not the gap. And of course, you know, we're not so sure about some of the social issues, the crime and so on going on in New Zealand. It's making us a bit uneasy. So, you know, that appears to be driving a stronger than usual exodus of New Zealanders. So it's a perfect storm, and it is very real. And the ACT Party would say, and you know, Brooke Van Velden, who's normally on this show, has a piece in the Herald today saying, we're going to have to start asking the question when we make decisions, will this make New Zealand a more or less attractive place for people to come to? Because we're engaged in a war for talent now.
Obviously, there's a lot of push and pull factors in terms of people leaving New Zealand and people immigrating here or not immigrating here. What do you think is the most important thing that can be done right now to reverse this trend and ensure we have a net gain in immigration in the immediate future?
We need to change the attitude of Immigration New Zealand. I mean, I'm a local electorate MP, so I'm the last line of defence for people whose family are trying to immigrate here, businesses who are trying to get their employees to immigrate here. I had a school that's hired a teacher. They've been jerked around for 3 months, and term three starts in a couple of weeks. You know, we need to start acting as though we're a recruitment agency at Immigration New Zealand instead of a police officer or a security guard trying to keep people out. So that's the easiest, quickest thing we can do. After that, it ends up being a lot of long-term stuff around, you know, quality of government spending, quality of regulation, you know, the culture of aspiration that we encourage through the laws we make and the way politicians behave, the safety on the streets and what we will and won't tolerate in terms of, you know, the rights of criminals versus the rights of victims. All of those things in the long run, you know, we're just a competitive business. You know, New Zealand Inc., do people want to stay here? And do people want to come here? Because in a free world, people have a choice. And if we start losing that battle, it actually compounds, because once there's a run on, it's difficult to stop the momentum.
David and I then discussed the links that the ACT Party has made between the rise in gang-related gun violence in New Zealand and the recent gun buyback.
In order to connect the gun buyback with the current shootings, you'd have to know, are the guns that they are using guns that were prohibited? I'm not sure whether or not they are, and I don't know if we have a good record of what sort of guns are being used. I mean, for one thing, not enough of these people have been caught. What I do know is that the gun buyback was a complete failure, and it may very plausibly be contributing to the current violence, because the government effectively banned about 240,000 known firearms. ACT was the only party to oppose this on the grounds that it was rushed and poorly conceived. They ran a buyback where they managed to procure 60,000 of those firearms. So they banned 240,000. They bought back 60,000. There are now 180,000 firearms out there that are being presumably either hidden or perhaps fell into criminal hands and are being potentially used in these shootouts. But we don't know that for sure. What I do know is that at the time that I opposed the firearm ban and the gun buyback, everyone thought I was public enemy number one. And I have to say that the reasons I did it were principled, that we oppose rushed lawmaking, that we don't get better laws if we don't sit back and ask what the problem is, generate a range of alternatives, and then choose the best one. That's how you make good law. They didn't do that. And as a result, we're now having bigger problems, which may well be partially a result of the failed gun buyback.
I mean, when we're talking about these issues with gang violence, as you have highlighted, they are very complex in their cause. Wasn't the gun buyback really in addressing a specific issue, that of a lone wolf terrorist who committed a horrible crime? And I guess when you're talking about these causal factors, you know, as you say, there isn't really a clear causal link between the gun buyback and gang violence. So do you think that your theory at this point is purely just a theory?
Well, it's, you know, a theory with very good circumstantial evidence. I mean, we know that there are 180,000 firearms out there unaccounted for, and we know that there has been an increase in gang violence using guns. Now, you're absolutely right. No one can prove that those are connected, but you also have to be pretty brave to be sure that they're not connected. I would say on balance, they probably are. When you come back to the lone wolf terrorist, once again, you know, the number of firearms that are out there and available has not been reduced in any significant way. In fact, by forcing those 180,000 firearms underground, we've probably increased the danger. Meanwhile, it's not clear that the government has solved the underlying problem that led to the Christchurch tragedy. And that was the fact that a person who was a single male living alone, straight off the plane from Australia, was able to buy an AR-15 on a Class A license, and nobody checked his references. And then when he bought 9,000 rounds of ammunition by mail order, nobody in our system was looking at those patterns and thinking, sheesh, someone better go talk to that guy. If someone had, 51 people wouldn't have died. Now, you know, that's our real problem. We never solved that problem with the buyback. It's fundamentally a problem of screening who is a fit and proper person. So I think that, you know, in terms of did it solve the problem it was supposed to solve, no. Has it, you know, possibly, if not likely, exacerbated a much bigger problem by forcing 180,000 firearms underground? I suspect it has.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was Alex speaking with ACT Party Leader David Seymour in our weekly catch-up with the Minor Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.